Revelation chapter 6. Dun, dun, dun. Here comes the seals. Chapters 1, 2, and 3. Write the things which you have seen. Chapter 1 on the beach. Write the things which are. Chapters 2 and 3, the church age. And the things which will take place after these things. Chapters 4 and 5, John takes us along on the first YouTube of the rapture of the church. You hear a trumpet, you hear a shout, up you go. All the elders are there, which means the fullness and the completion of the church is there present with the Lord. He who sat on the great throne produces a scroll that's written on both sides, front and back, and sealed with seven seals. That's a title deed. The front part was all the conditions of the title, the ownership. But if that goes into default, you flip it over, and then you write out what are the provisos of how to redeem this title deed that is in default. Chapters 6 through 19, we're going to see the seven-year great tribulation that the Bible talks all about. 20 times in the Old Testament, this period was called the day of the Lord. 3 times in the New Testament, the day of the Lord. Also known as the day of God, 2 Peter 3. The day of wrath, Zephaniah 1. The day of the Lord's wrath, Zephaniah 1. Again, the day of darkness, Joel chapter 2. And what did Jesus call this? He called it great tribulation. Let me read to you Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. For then shall be great tribulation, such was not since the beginning of the world, even to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, how are they shortened? In chapter 19, when Jesus returns. And if I didn't come back and stop all this nonsense, there should no flesh be saved. Daniel chapter 12, Daniel also saw this day, this seven-year period, the 70th week of Daniel's 70-week prophecy. Daniel 12 says, and at that time, the time we're going to look at, shall Michael stand up. Who is Michael? He's one of the archangels. The great prince which stands before the children of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never since there was a nation, even to that same time. World War II, 70 million humans perished in that conflict. As bad as that was, and the wholesale destruction of entire cities, terrible carnage of ever more modern weaponry. The city of Dresden in Germany burned so hot that a subclimate of a fire tornado and mini hurricane shows up and fuses sand into glass. Such destruction. Daniel said, even that is not like what's coming. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7, he calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. Alas, he says, for that great day, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Speaking of the people of God, Israel. Today's message, I think I'm going to title, Rocks Fall on Us, ... the insanity of sin. Verse 1. The Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures say with a voice like thunder, come and see. In the Greek, really what that's saying is, go, he is saying. Verse 2. And I looked, and behold, there was a white horse. And he who sat on it had a bow and a crown that was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. This is not Jesus. This is a false Jesus. This is the Antichrist. Are you sure? Because he's got a crown and he's on a white horse. The crown here that this fella is wearing is not a diadem, which is a crown of royalty. It's the Stephanos. It is the crown of victory. He is reaching out and conquering and squashing and rooting and just really wreaking havoc. You may have heard that the last Old Testament prophet is the prophet Malachi. Those 400 years is the 400 silent years. Come to find out they're not silent at all. check out Daniel chapter 11. Daniel chapter 11 is prophetic of that 400-year process after Malachi, leading right up through the events that would eventuate in the holiday of Hanukkah. It even talks and describes the Roman Empire that during Malachi's day is still 300 years off. It talks about the Greeks. Turns out that the 400 silent years between the testaments are not silent at all. God has it all covered. Our study on Daniel chapter 11, especially verses 35 to the end. And there is more descriptions of what the Antichrist will do and how he is going to maneuver himself. Why such terrible destruction? People are a little afraid of the book of Revelation because that's when God's really, really mad. Well, there's a difference between anger and judgment. If you have a parent who was quick with the paddle, you're like, are you sure there's a difference? Our God is not like earthly fathers who disciplined us according to their passions. There's an anger, to be sure, but it's not an out of control, cuff of the moment, emotional response. This is God after 6,000 years of human history telling people what his heart is, the direction and way to experience a relationship with this God who loves them so. But the craziest thing happens throughout all of history. No matter how God knocks on the door of people's hearts, you know what, by and large, the response of the humans are? No, thank you. In fact, it's not even that polite. Many have shook their fists. Many have sent all manner of ill thinking and thoughts heavenward. I don't know why some people sense the presence of the Lord, sense his love, respond to his passion. And why there are most, said Jesus, that will not. That will literally dig their heels in, intellectual heels, emotional heels, philosophical heels in. They will refuse the facts of the resurrection of Jesus. They will say, pshaw, to literally fulfilled Bible scripture. How many of you guys know that on planet Earth right now is a little nation by the name of Israel? That right there should be a glaring what from the Lord. I told you I was going to bring him back. But still people, they don't want to hear it. Or they may see your life. They're bugged because their life is having issues. And they look at you and you have issues too, but you don't fold. You don't fail. You're not bashing on your spouse. You're not joining them in the cutting down and the gossip sections near the water cooler. Why don't you tear down the boss along with us? And they see your light and they see you go through your challenges, but you don't fall apart because your happiness is not depending on what's happening. You have a joy that comes. Sometimes they respond to that, but most often they're bugged at you for having joy when I'm not having joy. Why do people do that? Here's my answer. Because there's kind of an insanity that goes along with sin. Luke chapter 15, what a great story. Jesus said, there was a certain man. And when Jesus says there was a certain man, that's not a parable. A parable is, the kingdom of heaven is like. Whenever Jesus says there was a certain man, this really happened. As he tells the story, I bet elbows were flying in the back of the crowd. I know who he's talking about. There was a certain young man who said to his father, give me all of my inheritance right now. The nerve of that young man. So the father says, okay. And he cashes out all of his 401ks and he gives it to the kid. And the Bible says he led a riotous life. He wasn't counting on the fact that there was going to be a famine in the land. So he burned through all of his inheritance. Plus the famine, he couldn't get a job and he couldn't get anything to eat. The camera pushes in on this kid. And you know where we find him? Not in the 5-star hotels anymore. And where are all his friends when he had money? They're not your friends. The only job he could get was feeding pigs. Now remember, he's a Jewish guy. That doesn't work out so well. So he's feeding the pigs, and here is the line in the scriptures that always intrigues me. The Bible says, and he longed to fill his stomach with what the pigs were eating. Can I retranslate that for you? He's so hungry. Pig slop is delicious. And you and I, who are well fed this morning, we go, you're nuts. You're crazy. It's not delicious at all. It's horrible. Then the Bible says, ding. It doesn't say ding. I inserted the ding. The Bible said, ding. He came to himself. You ever been near pigs? Anybody been near pigs? Let me see some hands. Let me see the pig hands. Nice. What does a pig's dye smell like? It's not a nose bouquet, I'll tell you that. It's really rank. And what do pigs love to do in their mud? Oh, they love to burrow and snort, and a pig is never so happy. Oh, this is awesome. What's mixed with the mud, you guys? I don't want to get too deep into this. Now remember, there's a famine in the land. So pigs, their slop is going to be even worse. Freeze frame. And here's our boy. Pig slop is delicious. That's insanity. How could that possibly make sense? But that's what sin does. When you're in the midst of it, bringing into your body, into your life, into your whatever, the things that are stinking and horrid and terrible. And perhaps those around you are saying, whoa, what are you doing? And you're all, pig slop is delicious. And then you wonder why you're losing friends. There is a kind of an insanity that goes with sin. The culmination of chapter 6, here's God pouring out judgment after judgment, trying to get them time after time after time to respond to his presence and his miraculous movings. And you know what the people do? Instead of saying, King's X, uncle, yes, Lord, you are right and I am wrong. You know what they say instead? Rocks, fall on us. Revelation 14, we'll see angels flying across the sky broadcasting the gospel. Miracle after supernatural miracle. And you know what they do? No! And instead of, yes, Lord. Instead, hey, rocks, fall on me and crush me to powder. I prefer that to falling on the rock of Jesus Christ. There's a kind of an insanity that goes along with sin. What's going on with these big judgments? Jeremiah 2, verses 17 through 19. There is Israel not listening to God. They're counting on their military, their political people, and their economic prowess. And God says, seriously? Through Jeremiah 2, he says, have you not brought this on yourself? In what you have forsaken the Lord your God when he led you in the way out of Egypt? Your own wickedness will correct you. And your backslidings, plural, will rebuke you. Know therefore and see that it is an evil and bitter thing that you have forsaken the Lord your God, and the fear of me is not in you, says the Lord of hosts. What does God sometimes do with an especially hard, difficult heart that's digging their heels in and shaking their fist at God? You know what God says? I'm going to take my presence and my grace off of you. I'm going to allow the pinch of your poor decisions to bite you. These first four seals we're going to see, they're going to be really not God doing it at all. The white horse, the red horse, the black horse, and the pale horse, that's God taking his hands off of the humans. You've taken me out of the schools. You've taken me out of the courtrooms. You've taken me out of everything else. You've been crying all your life, get out of our life, God. So after the rapture happens, the church comes out, the Holy Spirit, as we now know him, is removed. and he is going to give them exactly what they have always wanted. Their life run by the humans. Let's see how this works. Verse 3, and he opened then the second seal, and I heard the second living creature saying, come and see, or go. And then another horse, a fiery red one, went out. And it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, so that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. What's the first thing that humans do when God takes his hands off of them? They start fighting each other. Why? Because James tells us, where do wars come from among you? It comes from your own selfish heart. You want, want, want. There's many verses to cross-reference. I'll mention a couple. Jeremiah 25, verse 26, talks about this actual event. And the kings of the north, Russia. And the kings of the north, far and near, one with another, and all the kingdoms of the world which are on the face of the earth. For behold, I begin to bring calamity on the city which is called by my name. Jerusalem will not be immune to this time. You shall not be unpunished, Jerusalem, for I will call for a sword on all the inhabitants of the earth. More to the story. Verse 33 of Jeremiah 25 says, and at that day, the day we're looking at today, on that day, the slain of the Lord shall be from one end of the earth, even to the other end of the earth. One quarter of the population of planet Earth will be judged by God simply removing his hand of mercy. They shall not be lamented. So many will be dead and killed that they won't have time for anybody to mourn their deaths. Or gathered or buried, they shall become refuse, garbage, cast away on the ground. Verse 5. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature say, come and see, or go. And so I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat upon it had a pair of scales in his hand. God's word is always its own best explainer. Lamentations 5, 8 through 10, and Jeremiah 14, verses 1 and 2, the color black, is often connected with famine. People go to war, then a whole bunch of people die. Because of the pervasiveness of where this theater is going to happen, from one end of the earth to the other, what do the farmers do? They can't plant. They can't reap. So what happens to all the food? It starts to disappear. To eat bread by weight or scales is a Jewish expression indicating that food is very, very scarce. Verse 6. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius. It's about a day's wage. And a quart of wheat, that's not much. That's maybe a couple of slices of bread. This is very, very severe famine. And it's caused by the humans. And three quarts of barley. Barley was also a grain, but it was of such poor quality that typically you didn't feed your family. This is pretty much animal food. So all the dog food, three quarts of barley for a denarius, a full day's wage. Also concerning this time, Amos chapter 8 talks about there is another famine that's running concurrently with the food famine. It's a famine for the word of God. Listen to this, Amos 8, verse 11. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but a famine of the hearing of the words of God. And they, the people, shall wander sea to sea, coast to coast. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. When the rapture happens and the church leaves and God removes his current way that the Holy Spirit moves in all of our lives, the devil is going to see to it that God's word is removed from the human's ability. Well, why would God do that? Because he has had the word of God ever since humans have been around. To be honest, most of us struggle with Should I get in the Word today? Yeah, no, I don't feel like it. That's why we say around here, Word, worship, prayer, and fellowship. The Word every day. God is going to give a whole population of planet Earth a taste of what it's like without His Word. And do not harm, or that is to say, be very careful with the oil and the wine. The most common staples that we take for granted, the most disregarded, become the most precious. There's not going to be toiletries, beauty aids, basic spices. The things we take for granted. Global rationing and controls. And who is going to be in charge of divvying out all of these things? The Antichrist is. And you can't get these things unless you take the mark of the beast, as we'll see in Revelation 13, and you can't buy nor sell unless you have the mark. That is why the people that do become believers, they're going to pay with their lives. Verse 7. And then he opened the fourth seal. And I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see, or go. So I looked, and behold, there was a pale horse. It's the Greek word chloros. It's where we're going to get our word chlorine. Green and sickly. And the name of him who sat upon it was death. And hell, Hades, followed after him. Daniel 2 tells us, through peace, he will make war with many. Through peace, he will conquer, and many will die. Following him is the war. Following that, of course, is the famine. Following famine is going to be worldwide sicknesses. In Leviticus, this is the same color, this pale color, is the word used of leprosy. And power was given to them over a quarter of the earth. We're coming up on a little more than 7 billion people. So what's the math on that? That is billions of people. Billions of people are going to perish. Over a quarter of the earth to kill with a sword, with hunger, with death. And this is interesting to me, by beasts. And most of us think, so there's going to be lions roaming around? Well, there might be lions. But let me ask you this. What beast has been responsible for more deaths of more humans than any other beast? It's probably the great white shark. You know what it is? The mosquito. Isn't the mosquito the state bird of Minnesota? I think, yeah. When they were building the railroad, they ran out of iron spikes, no problem. They captured mosquitoes, broke off their nose, and hammered those in. That's not what happened. The mosquito. Last year alone, 1.2 million people perished because of malaria. This word for beasts in Greek is therion, and it means frightful at any size. After World War I, by the way, how many of you remember the terrible influenza that swept the globe? Because soldiers were being transported all around the planet, you see. And we had the ability to ship large groups of humans from one section to a new section where the immunities weren't quite acclimated. After World War I, 20 million humans died.